Let's talk about education, real education, not indoctrination. My guest is Brant Danger, founder of The School of the West. We're going to talk about education for white kids in the day of outrageous anti-white indoctrination and tyrannical leftist conformity. Brant, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
You are taking on a very important task, helping gather curriculum for homeschoolers that's focused on Western European civilization, culture, and heritage in the modern day. And all school used to be, of course, Western focused and pro-Western, but now it is all entirely anti-Western, claiming that our European ancestors are the source of most of everybody's modern day problems. Of course, it's the complete opposite. Now, you taught in the past in good schools and bad schools. Tell us about your journey and how you ended up here today.
Well, I've taught non-whites on an Eskimo village and in American Indian reservations, and I've taught in schools that have been mostly white. I've taught in cities, and I've taught in rural areas, and I taught in London. So I have a decent feel for what the curriculum is in public education, and I have also taught all grades and age ranges from four-year-olds up to people in a university level when I taught at a university. So what became apparent to me over time is the overwhelming, both explicit anti-white material that is given to instructors to use, and also the implicit, unspoken anti-white policies or attitudes of school boards and administration and other teachers. So as I was going through some of this material at different stages of teaching in different years, I would realize, oh, wait a second, what I'm about to read to my students is a lie. This is inaccurate. Why am I holding this information, which is untrue? And so I would go ahead and I would tell the students, okay, this is the material here. This is what we're supposed to learn. But also, I happen to know that this is false at this point in time, kids. And that also feeds back into other lessons where you teach the difference between fact and opinion. And also, it was important to me as a teacher to start to teach critical thinking skills, because people mouth or districts mouth, hey, we want to teach critical thinking skills to our kids. They're the future leaders, blah, blah, blah. Mostly that's just a bunch of nonsense. That's a bunch of fluff. What they're really doing, what schools are really doing, is they are producing people that will be competent enough to be consumers and can fulfill certain jobs that are necessary to continue our civilization chugging along as a large consumer-based, racially mixed society where capitalism and globalism are the gods. Critical thinking skills is the very last thing that they want students to have. So as all of these things started to come to the forefront in my mind, I thought, wait a second, I don't want to be doing this. I want to be a teacher. This is extremely important. But teaching now, education now, is not what it was when I was a kid. Something very, very bad has happened from the time I'm a kid to I'm an adult.
I noticed so it I too, and I'm not that old. it's happened fast.
Yeah, it came on really fast. It snuck up, and I thought, has everyone gone insane? What is going on?
I mean, there was always that level of, you know, white man bad, killed all the Indians and suppressed all the blacks. Yeah. There was always levels of that, but then it's just like what really escalated, where it's like they're putting it into every single, you know, language arts, into math, into science, like anti-whiteism everywhere. Anyway, continue.
Right. Yeah, that's right. So it ekes in everywhere. So there's official policies where it's used in history classes, social studies, etc. But it's also pushed into all of these other different subjects, like you just mentioned. A lot of times it's done unofficially by teachers because that is their point of view that they want to push on students, and they feel that they are moral for doing this. So while I'm in this maelstrom of all this anti-white nonsense, I start thinking about, wait a second, if I had actually my own school, or if there was a school where I could go to where I would teach, where I know the appropriate material is being taught and it's not being suppressed and held back, and the opposite of it is being taught to the students, what would that be? So I started coming up with these ideas just, you know, in the back of my mind. And then when COVID started shutting down schools in the spring of 2020, our school went to a different model where the teachers started working from home. And that freed up a little bit of time for me to start working on this. I knew that it was time to put this into reality instead of it just being an idea. So it took about half a year to find some other people who could work on some material. I worked on some material, worked on the website with a few people. Then I took the website over, and then it came online, you know, 6 or 7 months after we started. And there's been about 40 men and women that have helped me along the way. They donate their time and their expertise in the subjects or the areas that they either have experience in, they have interest in, or they have some sort of expertise in. So we have professionals, we have some other teachers, we have people who have studied subjects on their own, and everyone who works on the site is just someone who at the end of the day or the end of the week, after they've already worked all of their 80 hours, if they have a little bit of time left over, they dedicate that to putting some material together. And then when it's all bundled and it looks good and it fits in, then I put it on the site. There's also been 3 or 4 go-arounds where I will tutor students specifically one-on-one or in groups if they're wanting to get some additional help outside of the school that they're in, or if some kids are being homeschooled. And a lot of the material that I worked with over the past couple of years, that's going to be going into a couple of series that I'm going to put on the website. One is an elite series for teens, and one is an elite series for youth. And this is extremely non-traditional subjects that is psychologically what our kids need right now, so that they can understand the world that they're about to move into. So when they get slapped with this anti-whiteism, they understand the propaganda. They can see it for what it is, and it does not have an effect on them. They do not get indoctrinated, and they don't get turned into being anti-whites and continue this problem that we have.
Yeah, we need our own form of social emotional learning, like they're, you know, shilling that in the public school. But it's more of like how to spot propaganda. Again, that's critical thinking skills in order to spot that propaganda and who's it aimed at, what its end goal is. And there's a big difference between critical theory and critical thinking. And now critical thinking has been replaced by critical theory, right? I mean, that's all it is. Like, it's all
those two terms have nothing to do with each other. They both have the word critical in
front
of them. That's
exactly. I mean, what does critical thinking mean? I mean, to you as a teacher, when you want to teach kids critical thinking, how does that manifest in a classroom?
Yep, good question. I think the best way to do that, you can start with kids at any level. You give them a story from two different perspectives, and the two different perspectives are at the loggerheads with each other, almost as if you are a cop or a person on a jury, and you're trying to determine what actually happened. Because when we study history, if we're honest about it, we find that there are at least two different viewpoints, sometimes many viewpoints. So what I tell the kids is, here's what I want you to do. When you're small, you trust everyone. You believe everyone. You believe your teachers, your coaches, your parents, grandparents, etc. And you're supposed to do that. You don't have any choice. You rely on them for staying alive. But as you get older, you're going to be responsible for making up your own mind about all of these things. So what I want you to do, as you hear these stories, as you hear these facts, take the information and put it in a part of your head where you're not deciding that it's true or false. And you just keep putting more information in there until you think that you have enough that you can then decide on your own what is the truth about these stories, what actually happened. And that's where the thinking comes in. So don't just buy stuff right off the bat. Don't give into it. And part of that also, that's kind of bundled with that, is learning how propaganda manipulates you by working on your emotions, by trying to get you to feel emotions, sympathy, fear, anger, etc. So you're running off your emotions as opposed to running off of facts. It takes a lot of discipline, and it takes time to do that. And to me, that's what critical thinking is. And everybody can use that, from kids up to adults, because there's lots of adults that don't engage in critical thinking. They just default back to what they were taught early on, and then that's it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that that's another reason why there's such an attempt on free speech, you know, and such an attack on websites such as yours, just trying to promote, you know, critical thinking for white kids and white well-being. Like, they want us to revert to the things that they've already kind of ingrained into people, right? Because they don't want people to be free thinkers and truly think for themselves and spot the propaganda, right, spot the lies, and be their own person, right? I wanted to play, you did a little kind of emotional appeal clip talking about the School of the West. So we'll just cue that up and play it.
Our children are under attack. Our civilization is under attack. No one is coming to save our children. It's up to us to create alternate institutions, including an alternate education system. Pulling your children out of government-run schooling is the first step. Giving them an education in white well-being is the next step. It's time to remember who we are. It's time for our children to know who they are. It's time for our children to learn what makes the white race unique. It's time for our children to learn the history they are denied by the anti-whites that control our textbooks. It's time for our children to learn the psychological tools to defeat the psychological attacks from anti-whites. It's time there was a school made for our people. It's time for School of the West.
Now, of course, there were several attempted hit pieces that came out about the School of the West. It's amazing how, like, you could just start up some little project. I've seen, like, little new podcasts come out about, viewing white people in a positive way and immediately attacked and doxed. And it's just, it's amazing. Anyway, all this absolute trash and hypocrisy as usual was printed. Your crime is that you want white well-being over deconstructing whiteness, which is basically shattering the souls of white kids, which that is hate and psychological abuse. Now, numerous pieces were written by, you know, commie outlets complaining that your goal is for white kids to to have a healthy well-being and positive outlook about their ancestors. How dare you? You want them to feel good about themselves and their people, not horrible and guilt-ridden, because, you know, that's a bad thing, right? It's morally acceptable, according to the anti-white journos, to make little white kids feel bad. So what do you think about a lot of these total hypocrisy in these attacks about, like, let's make all the non-white kids feel proud of their ancestors, proud of who they are, their culture and heritage, and then let's hold down and abuse the white kids, right?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I used to care about what the anti-whites wrote and what they said. And I used to try to engage with people and understand where that was coming from and talk sense into them. And over time, I realized that there's no reaching a lot of these people. They are so far gone. They're in such an alternate reality. They despise white people in Western civilization so much that they are running down that track. I think of it as a mental illness. So how do I interact with someone with a mental illness? Well, to a certain degree, you can't. You can work with them or you can interact with them on a superficial level. But if you're trying to rely upon them to get something done, if you're trying to work with them or come to a common goal, you can't do that. So I don't care anymore what they have to say. I care absolutely nothing. And part of that is I realized that when I started working on School of the West, I have to be disciplined on what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to work on the well-being of white kids and the rest of the white race, because a lot of people are not standing up for it. Public education is doing the exact opposite of that. So as these anti-white, insane people come up with these just numerous attacks, you know, like hit pieces written about me, laws are being instigated against us, you know, judgments are being wrongly ruled against us. People are losing fines, losing their money, losing jobs, you know, every single way that you can be possibly attacked and physically attacked and murdered, everything. I can't waste any time on that because every single one of those things is a distraction. We only have so much time and so much energy, so much brain power. So what I want to do is stay focused on the positive, and all the rest of this insanity is just going on around me. I don't care. It's not that I don't care when that affects other people, but I have to take the course which is the most disciplined and is going to result in the most good for everybody else.
Yeah, you don't waste time negotiating with a vampire. Like,
exactly.
They're
a
vampire.
I don't care at all. And also, some people ask questions sometimes about, like, okay, what is the ultimate goal? What exactly are we going to do? Well, I don't know exactly what we're going to do. What I'm trying to do right now is set up this foundation for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years on down the line, because it's going to happen where we're going to regain our destiny. We're going to recapture our destiny. We're going to get control of our countries once again. We're going to run them for ourselves the way that they should have been all along, the way that other ethnicities do for themselves. Now, when that happens, whether it happens tomorrow or 100 years from now, you're going to need an education system set up for us. It already needs to be up and running. So this is a long-term goals. So when people ask me, okay, what's going to happen? What are you going to do? Well, that's not for me to decide. Maybe that's one generation or two generations.
It's a long game.
Three generations down the line. Once we have an identity, then our people at that time can decide to do whatever they want to do. Whatever that's going to look like, they will be empowered to do that. I don't need to worry about that.
Well, education is a huge, huge part of it. That's the here and now. The children are the future, and you don't want children, you know, cute little white kids being taught that, you know, they're the source of all the problems in the world. They're bad because they're white. They should feel guilt and shame. They should move aside for everyone else. You know, this is toxic. This is toxic indoctrination. No other group is singled out like little white kids and said that only they are racist. Only their ancestors had slaves, and only their ancestors owe the entire world. So therefore, we can do whatever heinous thing we want to you because, you know, you owe it to us. I mean, this is psychologically damaging to little kids. This is hate. That is obviously racism, right? But none of that matters. Of course, we don't want to put our kids in those institutions and be around those teachers that teach these toxic, horrible, psychologically abusive lies. I mean, if it was a parent teaching this at home saying, you're bad, only kids that look like you are bad. I mean, you know, that's like you could have your kid taken away. Like in the old days, you know, now it's like these batshit crazy women who are teaching the kids in these classrooms. So what is the meaning when we say white well-being? Now all these journos are, oh my God, white well-being, you know, but you can have black positivity and all this stuff, body positivity and everything. You just can't have white positivity, right? What does white well-being mean to you?
White well-being means that white people can live in safe, prosperous societies, and they don't have to constantly go to extra lengths to harmonize with other people that are living in our societies. We don't have to constantly change what we're doing to accommodate them and make them feel okay all the time. We don't have to pay taxes into a pot, which is then divvied up to other people constantly. It means that we don't attack anyone else. We have no animosity towards anyone else, but we have a right to defend our interests and the way of life that we have had for thousands of years as Western civilization has developed and sprouted and brought just untold riches and inventions and elevated lifestyles. Elevated lifestyle sounds funny, but inventions and organization that has brought people up out of poverty, starvation, etc. So it's basically, I think of it this way. Let's say that you there's a family, they're living in a house. No one has a right to start living in that house with them and say, okay, well, I'm going to stay up till 2 o'clock. So the rest of you have to listen to me make noise. And I need you to start buying this food and put it in the house because I'm going to eat it. And now I'm going to start sleeping in your bedroom and you're going to go sleep in another room. Mm. You know, that's completely unacceptable. Our countries are our home. They're our house. And the United States and the other Western countries, they only exist because we exist, because we built them, we maintain them. If we're not here, they don't exist anymore. So white well-being means that we take care of our emotional needs, spiritual needs, physical needs, etc., without attacking anyone else. But if you attack us, we're going to defend our interest, and it's completely okay, and it's moral to defend our interest. It is immoral to attack us. It is immoral to try and strip away the well-being of any race, including the white race.
Yeah.
So if people attack white well-being, the mask comes right off. You know what their true intentions are.
Well, we know what well-being means, right? Why can't you apply that for white people? We all want well-being for humanity. Why shouldn't that also apply to white people? As a mother, I want my kids to grow up and have a positive outlook about themselves and their culture and their heritage and their people. I don't want them to have to worry about growing up and being white and being hated and have to think about that all the time. That's a lot to put on little kids, and that's what they're doing now. At the same time, now we also have to educate them about some of the dangers and the things that are out there. So you can homeschool, or you can put them in, you know, special private schools or something that might be good, but you still have to teach them about things that are going on in the outside world in this day and age that they're going to encounter. You know, I've seen some parents, they try and shelter their kids too much, and then it's kind of shocking when they get out there and they encounter, like, you know, a tranny for the first time, right? Or just like the hatred because they're white. You know, you also have to equip them in that as well.
Right. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Lana. Look, if you've got kids that are in public school or you're homeschooling your kids, either way, you have to prepare them for the anti-white propaganda that they're going to get hit with over and over, or they're not going to be ready for it. If you homeschool your kids and you have them in a sheltered environment and you just give them the right movies and the right books, and they don't learn about discrimination against whites, they don't learn about the hatred that's out there, when they go out into the, quote, real world, unless they're going to live in a little small town shelter for their entire life, they're going to get hit with this stuff and they're not going to be ready for it. Where if you get your kids ready for it, if you prepare them, then the anti-white propaganda has the reverse effect on them. The kids see it coming as they grow up. They make fun of it. It has no effect on them.
That's right.
They expected it. They know exactly what's going on. And then they can share that message with others. And then this indoctrination, this anti-white indoctrination, this brainwashing, it starts becoming weaker and weaker. So it doesn't matter what you're doing with your kid, how they're getting educated. You need to give them the psychological tools to stop this psychological destruction that's being foisted upon our kids at earlier ages, even in kindergarten. Some kids are having to put up with this nonsense.
Yeah.
And there's lots of different varieties of it. There's different flavors of it. Yeah, you've got your transgender, you have your trannies, you have your explicit anti-white material, you have your teachers, your non-white teachers that pull the white kids aside and give them a little lecture and say, your people is why our people are in this position. You know, this happens to white kids. I know white kids that this has happened to. And the parents complain to the principal or superintendent, school board, nothing happens.
It's amazing. It's utterly abusive. And unfortunately, there not everyone can homeschool, you know. So there is a need for something new, but I feel like we're still a little bit ahead of our time. Some pieces need to come together with organization and resources. The options for private school are limited too, because not everyone is religious, but then you have problems in the Christian, the Catholic private schools as well, where they're still getting hit with the other propaganda that you don't want them getting hit with. But I love the idea of an actual school in the future that is focused on, well, this is kind of what we had, but a more updated version of Western civilization, Western culture, Western heritage, Western mythology, Western holidays, and, you know, all those important things. Of course, all the academic aspects too, with added in with all the cultural aspects and equipping them with kind of tools for the modern day that they have to deal with to anchor our kids in their heritage, right? And dispelling some of those common anti-white lies, teaching our side of the story. I would love to see schools like that in the future. I think it's a little ahead of our time, but that's why it's important, like what you're doing, developing curriculum. If there's other people out there that can help, we need to just really infuse this website, I think, to help to have tools for homeschoolers. And also, not just for homeschoolers, but people whose kids maybe are in school, but they want to give them a little something extra.
Right. You know? Yeah. Again, I'm glad that you said that. And I think that you're in a way reiterating what I just said. If you do not prepare your kids for all of this, excuse my French, this anti-white bullshit, they're going to pay the price for it. They're going to psychologically pay the price. And they may physically pay the price down the line. I've seen plenty of white people in the past 3 or 4 years. They're in a non-white area and they, hey man, what's going on? And they wind up dead. Just because they don't understand the reality of what's going on. They've been fed propaganda.
They're taught to be too nice, right?
Yeah, I guess it's okay to be nice, but we have to stop being naive. We have to grow up as a race right now. We have to stop being naive. We have to stop being gullible. Males, you need to start being men now, and women need to start being real women, okay, not little 12-year-old girls. And we need to start thinking more about us as a people, as opposed to just being individualistic and, you know, how much money can I make this year, and how many hours can I sit on my butt and watch social media and sports ball and all these sorts of things. We're sort of in the mess because we've been so individualistic. We've been trained to be consumers for decades. Plus, we've had all this anti-white propaganda in our movies and our TV shows and news broadcasts, newspapers, books, comic books, everything. Just we're deluged with it.
Yes.
But at least now through the internet, like with what you and Henrik are doing, there's little cracks where the door opens and the light shines out and we can get to this alternate information and go, okay, well, this makes sense. And when I was starting School of the West, one of the ideas was to have it analogous to like a red ice for kids. It is it's a nexus of a lot of useful information that's in one location.
Yeah.
So it gives the kids the sense of identity. It's a history, relevant history. Then the psychological tools to help them. Plus, as we develop the basics, the math and the sciences and the ELA, et cetera, that will be fleshed out on the site.
I love how, haters are saying accusations against you and against us. Extremism, this is indoctrination somehow. They're never, ever guilty of that themselves, even though their side is literally claiming that 2 + 2 isn't 4 anymore and there's 100 different genders and men can really be women if they cut their balls off. I mean, the crazies are running not only the educational system, but an entire society because we've been too naive, too tolerant. And it's mostly a lot of these childless shitlibs who are really upset right now about parents who are homeschooling. They're upset about your website. They're having a fit because these kids are escaping their grips, and they just can't stand that they're escaping the general brainwashing. But like you said, but it's still everywhere. Just turn on YouTube, like the ads that come up or just the videos that come up, it's already everywhere outside the school, but they are really panicking about this whole homeschooling movement, and COVID really brought that on. And there was a lot of people that it even stuck. Now I'm even hearing from some friends where there's even like white liberals who are homeschooling now too. it's not just religious fanatics that are doing it anymore. No. It hasn't been for years.
Well, I could see where that might happen because not every school district is going to have the same political, social inclinations. You're going to have some that may be more conservative, and you're going to have a lot more, as you say, they're on the shit-lib anti-white spectrum. So there could be liberals in districts where maybe certain books are banned or a certain amount of religiosity is pushed in the school
That. Yeah. They can't show them books about gay sex. So we got to homeschool so we can show them books about gay sex or whatever. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, look, also I want to, not speaking of gay sex, one of the things that you said a couple of minutes ago is, we're being accused by the anti-whites of indoctrination, whatever. I saw the first articles written about me. They took statements that I made or material on the website and cut it completely out of context to try and make some sort of a point, which is nonsense. What I tell kids, or what I've told kids in classrooms and the material that I put on the site now and tutoring online, I tell them, look, I don't even necessarily want you to believe me 100% right now. I want you just to listen to what I'm saying, take that in along with this other information. And if what I'm telling you helps you out and it explains this propaganda that you're seeing and will see, then you can decide on your own what is real and what is not real, what's true and what is false. I don't have some sort of ego where I need you to believe me right now. I've been around in education long enough that I understand what is going on. And the information that I put out, it's not, super flashy and entertaining like some other people, but there's a lot of meat on the bone right there. And the kids, if you give them a chance, you treat them fairly, treat them like they're intelligent, and get to them before they're indoctrinated and brainwashed, you can give them these alternate viewpoints and they can listen to these anti-whites with their hit pieces all day long. And they'll say, you know what? You're full of crap. Like, I'm done with you.
And it's better that parents get to their kids first about some of these things, like talking about anti-whiteism, talking about, LGBT movements and all that stuff. Talking about history, it's better to hear it from the parents at home first. And I'm kind of surprised at how fast that comes up, like how young that has to come up nowadays in this day and age. Like you take your kid out and, this kid has two moms. Oh, I guess we're going to have that conversation now. it's like we didn't have to grow up like that. I don't remember ever like hearing about two moms or two dads or like cross dressers or, just this explicit, hating white people, even though there was always kind of a low grade of that. I mean, and I grew up in a conservative area, anytime they get into like MLK and the Indians and the pioneers, there's always a low grade, like anti-whiteness. But now these things come up really quick. And I always tell friends, it's better that your kids hear these things from you first, so it's not so shocking, just in case they hear it out there somewhere or see it somewhere on TV or something. And then it's like the poison kind of gets in a different way, as opposed to like being shielded from it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, just think of it this way. You've got a stove in your house. Do you let the kid go over and put their hand on the stove and burn it? Well, if you're a crappy parent or you're drunk, you do that. But usually you tell your kids like, okay, don't brush your teeth with broken glass. Don't put your hand on the stove. Don't run out in the street. There's a reason for that, because you care about the kid. The kid has not been alive for very long. They don't understand what's going on. So if you, like I said, if you prepare them for what they're going to see beforehand, and you tell them why this propaganda has been made, they may not like it. They might say, Mommy and Daddy, why do people hate white people so much? Why are they doing this? And then that's a different type of conversation. You got to take it to the next level if you want to do that. But you at least prepare them for what's going on. And then it doesn't have any effect on it. They don't put their hand on the stove. someone else tries to grab their hand and put it on the stove, you say, no, you're not doing that. I'm not putting up with that.
And it sucks. It sucks that we live in a world where we have to have these conversations with our kids at such a young age. You know, it's heartbreaking. Like, you want them to be innocent and just like have a childhood where they don't have to think or see any of these things. But unfortunately, that's not the times that we live in. You know, some of us live in little pockets where we can kind of give them that for as long as possible. But eventually, like, it comes up. You know, it sucks. Even in a place like Northern Idaho. Now, I wanted to ask you about the anti-CRT crowd. I mean, this is a good thing, the anti-critical race theory movement. But of course, there's some negatives with some of the people behind it because it's not explicitly like, yay, European people, right? It's like, let's all just get along and be a melting pot peacefully, you know, kind of mix out and have this, you know, one mono blah culture just peacefully, because America is a piece of paper, right? It's kind of that crowd. But what do you think about some of the positives and the negatives of the anti-CRT crowd? Because in the end of the day, I think it is a positive, obviously.
Yeah, well, it's a positive in that it's bringing people's attention to criticizing it to begin with. I think the problem could be that it doesn't allow people to go all the way to the truth. It does not allow white people to once again have an identity. A lot of the criticisms that I've seen of CRT that I think are sort of helpful but sort of not helpful is when they say, oh, well, you know what, this CRT, this really hurts black people, or this really hurts, you know, left-handed.
It's an attack on Asians. Yeah, Asians. Yeah. It's amazing. And it's like, it's literally just singling out white people. It's like some of these anti-CRT, they can't just say the word white people. It's an attack on white people because they think that's white supremacy, right? Just wanting white well-being and not attacking white people is now white supremacy. And like,
yeah, that's true. And what I say to the anti-whites is you have to get over it. Like, we're done with your crap. We see through your nonsense. You're not going to have this control over our kids and our people anymore. You have to deal with it. If you're going to freak out because you can't completely control white people and you don't want them to ever have an identity, you don't want them to get together, you don't want to acknowledge that we exist, that's tough for you. You have to grow up. You have to deal with this on your own. And one of the core tenets of white well-being is that you don't have to get involved. You don't have to try and argue everything down to a granular level. If it's anti-white, it's anti-white. You don't have to say it's CRT or it's this program or it's this, you know, BLM here, or it's Antifa, or it's the Marxists. No, it's the communists. No, it's the feminists. No, it's the woke crowd. Well, they're anti-white. Now, once we all understand that it's anti-white, we're all pulling in the same direction, then we can go down to the next level and we can discuss what type of flavor of anti-white is this? Where did it come from? How do we deal with it, etc. So I just refer to this stuff as anti-white, which is exactly what it is. Now, if someone is saying, this just hurts everyone or it hurts these people over here, you're being dishonest and you're doing it on purpose. You know that it targets white people, you know that it hurts them, and you're being dishonest. So you're acting like you're conservative, you're with the hardworking American crowd, and as you start to pull them in and say CRT is bad, why? Oh, because it hurts these people over here. You can't be white. You can't have a white identity.
It shows how they're still brainwashed to care about what these liberals who hate white people think. Because if they take the stance of like defending white people, they'll get called white nationalist, white supremacist, and you know, all these other things. And they're spineless. They're too afraid to just say what it is.
Right. So here's the thing that in the Elite series for teens that I put in there in one of those videos, what I tell people is like, look, all of this is predicated upon you feeling guilty for being a white person. That's it. That's the beginning and the end of it. Now, there's lots of other nuances involved with that, but if you feel guilty for being white, if you're afraid to say that you're a white person, that you're proud to be white or stand up for white people, you will give away your civilization. You will give away your sons and daughters. You will give away your money. You will give away your schools, your institutions, your governments. And that's what has been happening, because white people are too freaking cowardly to stand up for themselves and their people, because when they're called racist, oh, they shrink.
Yes.
And that's like the superpower. It's like a kryptonite to Superman. And it's just insane to me that white people are so affected by that. You've got to get over that. And when someone calls you a racist, look, part of what's going to go on to the side is, how do you deal with this? You say, look, you know, calling a white person the R word is like calling a black person the N word. That's not okay. It's not an argument. Calling me racist is not an argument. Only an anti-white would call me a racist. So why are you anti-white? And what is your argument exactly? And if you cannot come up with a good argument, if you can't explain to me why you're anti-white, you need to piss off, because we're done. And then that's it. And get over the fact that somebody wants to call you names.
Yeah, just take your own space. You don't have to explain jack to these people. Like, just take your own space and laugh in their face. Like, I find that that's like one of the most effective, and it drives them nuts. And then they really expose all the toxicity that they have inside and all their hatred. It just comes boiling when they can't like put their hooks in you. You know what I mean?
When you don't care, it just drives them nuts. Like, you're supposed to recoil and give up and get down on one knee when they call you racist.
It's losing power, too. It is losing power. Yeah. I'm out there. I watch. I see. Even like NormieCon people are like saying anti-white and you know, posting videos of a lot of the, you know, attacks on white people or black on white crime. Like, we see a lot of that stuff happening, coming out, stuff that we've been talking about for years. And it is catching on, and it will catch on more and more, because that's how white people generally are. Once it's more acceptable and they feel safe, because I mean, we don't want every white person losing their jobs. We want them having families and doing all this, so that, you know, it's, everyone's got to do it in steps. They can't all be public, but you can do it in your own life, damn it. When you encounter it, you put your foot down. If all of us started doing that, we wouldn't be here. Now, I see that in the school system too, there is a purging of the best teachers in favor of ones who will submit to this anti-white crazy thing they want you to teach, right? Any advice for teachers who are listening, or people who want to become teachers who are in the system? Because we need good people also in the system, good teachers. And I think that there are a lot of them there. They just obviously stay quiet, right?
Well, you have to figure out for yourself what you're going to be willing to put up with. There's going to be some explicit policies that may be anti-white that you're supposed to carry out. There's going to be teacher training, because teachers are trained out the wazoo constantly. It's nuts. There's constant teacher training throughout the year, every year. And then you have to renew so many credits to renew your teaching license. You have to have university classes, etc. A lot of that's going to be anti-white. So what I would say to someone who's either a teacher right now, a young teacher, or they want to go into teaching, realize what you're going to be encountering. You have to decide how you're going to deal with it, how much of it you're going to put up with. And you can put up with it. You could, you know, speak out against it intelligently as you encounter it. Depending upon the district that you go into, you're going to encounter more or less of it. So you can, you know, keep that in mind as well. I don't have a really good answer for myself. There wasn't a lot of anti-whiteism when I started teaching, and then it really ramped up, like we said, super fast. And that's when I started saying, well, wait a second, this doesn't make sense. But I'm still learning how to teach. I'm learning what's going on in public education, and I'm getting these skills that I can then use for good as opposed to using for evil. So everyone who goes into teaching, they need to decide, why are they doing that? Do you want to just be around little kids and be motherly to little kids? Do you want to teach in a secondary school because you're passionate about a certain subject? Now, what is it exactly? Just be aware that you're going to have to put up with some anti-white policies and influences, people trying to influence you, and you may have to explain your actions from time to time if you don't go along in lockstep.
And let me tell you, it amazes me. Even in conservative places, you get that annoying liberal you-know-what woman that's just like, they're on the school board, they're in the PTA, they're all over, you know, your shoulder. Just like, how do they creep in there, you know? They're just everywhere, like these little monsters, these little gremlins.
Well, I think part of that is these people who are anti-white, part of the makeup of their personality is they want to control other people.
Yes.
whether they are truly insane or they're partially insane and they have a mix of you know, virtue signaling and they have a big hole in their life. They're unhappy and they want other people to do what they want to do. They have a certain drive to be loud and to expend energy to move into places, positions of power. And that's part of a problem with what we have with our governments throughout Western civilization. We have the wrong people going into power. And that's stuff that we're going to have to deal with down the line. But I think that more good people, we have to stop being selfish and just doing enough just for us. And we have to start stepping up, not trying to control other people, but defending our people and not allowing the anti-whites to influence us. And this right here that you see on the screen, this is from one of the NEA magazines. So when you are a teacher, you can be part of the National Educators Association, which is the union for the teachers. And you can see it's almost all just anti-white. Yes. Joe Biden this, Joe Biden that. Joe Biden is great. He's our savior. Yay. It's nonsense. So there's just anti-whiteism from one end to the other.
Yeah, I want to remind people, speaking of teachers, you know, and what's right for you, and I know that there's teachers out there listening. Back in 2018, my guests kept making the news, people that I had on, because I was being stalked, being stalked by these activist journalists, right? And they would always write about these people. I interviewed and was interviewed by this woman by the name of Diana Voletich, and she had her podcast that was called Unapologetic. She's a 20-something-year-old teacher who lived in Florida. She had me on, and we spoke about things, you know, some things we're talking about today. And then she was doxxed immediately by angry white men who's an Antifa activist, and he feeds stuff to, you know, mainstream media, feeds them crap. Ultimately, she was fired for posting things on, you know, her Twitter and our interview where everything we said was like factual. Just go listen to it. And where she said, it isn't supremacist or hateful to prefer your own people over others. And she said that IQ differences exist between races. And she had written about what she had seen. But yeah, these are facts, right? Like, we know these things, but it doesn't matter. It made national news nationwide, every single paper, clips of our show, clips of us talking. And I even made like this little joke about, all right, let's take over, let's take back the school systems, let's take over the school systems. And then they were like, these evil white nationalist women are plotting to take over the school system. And it was everywhere. It was just outrageous. Her face everywhere, terrified that she might be interjecting her political beliefs because she had this podcast. As if no lefties ever do this. Now, she didn't. All her crime was in the classroom, as she said, just remember, kids, there's always two sides to the story when learning about history. That's all she said. There's two sides of the story. And she got in trouble for saying that. That's her big crime. But the thing is, how many teachers do we see, leftist teachers, with their TikTok channels and their social media, where they're just hating white people or saying that, yeah, I teach what I want when we close the doors, or I put up my tranny flag even though they don't let me. All these like big omissions from these people, and they don't get fired. Just recently, when there's been a campaign of like some of these videos are out there and people are like demanding they get fired, and sometimes it works, but this is like more of a newer phenomena. But there's tons of teachers like that, but they're so paranoid that there might be one good teacher like this Tiana, and she was a great teacher, you know, and then they lost her. Her kids loved her.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter whether they're a good teacher or not. It doesn't matter whether their kids love them or not. If they run afoul of what the school board and the administration is trying to accomplish, then you're going to get placed on leave, and then your contract is not going to get renewed. That's That's how you get fired as a teacher for the most part. And I think that I said it earlier in our talk, and in that school is an indoctrination center. It's kind of like a rat poison. Rat poison tastes good. The rat comes over, it starts eating it, but then it gets the poison. So the nice, delicious coating on the outside of public school is the kids get to socialize, they get recess, they get lunch, they have classes that they like, there's friends, they learn how to read, they learn how to write a little bit, there's some math, there's PE, maybe music. But there's also this anti-white indoctrination, which is now becoming more and more of a core of what is going on in public education. So if you're not a dutiful teacher who is pushing the anti-white indoctrination as prescribed by the school board or the administration, you're going to run into trouble. Doesn't matter if you're a good person or not. And none of this stuff right now is fair. It's all nuts. It's all insane. It's not fair.
No.
And we just have to keep focused on, like, this is just the way it is right now.
Yeah.
It's like starting a sporting match, a football game, soccer game or something, and you're behind 80 points and you say, wait, what the crap? What do you mean I'm behind 80 points? Like, we haven't started yet. Well, that's just the way it is.
It's equity.
Because our rulers have betrayed us, have been treasonous for decades, and they've allowed people who have interests that run counter to our own interests to take control because they wanted money from these donors. They wanted money from these capitalists, these globalists, these people from the Middle East. That was important to our rulers, not what we needed. And we're way behind the curve right now because we have been betrayed for a very long time in almost every single country. That's just the reality that we have to deal with.
I was thinking about that song, that Pink Floyd song, Another Brick in the Wall. I was like, it's so annoying because little did he know, right, that it's his fellow leftists behind the biggest indoctrination attempt ever, right? Now they're calling family a nation and fitness and wanting, you know, courage and strength. All of that is considered fascism these days, right? Therefore, it's got to be broken down and replaced by total opposites. And they call it liberation when little boys cut their wieners off and when parents don't live together anymore, or when women have their fifth abortion, or when the white kid is, beat up in school, by a pack of blacks because he's white. It's just amazing how it's like they still think somehow that they're the underdog, right? And it's like we got here partially because of, people like Pink Floyd, too, agreeing with the lie that white conservative straight society oppresses us all. No, the problem is that they were ultimately and still are too accepting of a lot of this stuff. And that's how we are here today. What do you think?
Yeah, I think, Lana, what you're describing there is in the white well-being community, what we call the anti-white narrative. It doesn't have to bear any resemblance with reality. It's just this storyline, this continual narrative that says white people did all of these horrible bad things. You should feel guilty for being white. All the other races are angels. You need to make amends to these other races continuously. You need to let your countries be completely racially destroyed by letting all of these other people in. And if you're white, you don't really have any meaning. You don't have any importance. And if you die, then that's fine. The world's going to be a better place if you're dead, if you're white. So it's this anti-white narrative, which is running constantly. And if you stick your head above the parapets and say, wait a second, this is nonsense, you might get your head shot off, metaphorically. and so the anti-white narrative, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't have to make any sense. It's like this this giant cult, this big mass of mentally ill people. And, like I said, I realized that I can't work with these people. I can't talk to these people. They don't care. They care about this narrative. They care about this belief. It's almost like they feel moral. They feel like a good person, if they can go along with this and they can bend the knee and say, look what a supplicant, self-hating white person I am. Give me some likes, give me some social media strokes.
Their time is limited. Their time is going to be running out. I see the trends happening. I also think the future of school and what that may look like is going to be very different in the near future. I think there's going to be unexpected changes on the horizon. There's going to be a lot of unpredictability of our times. So I think we can expect some of the unexpected, and there will be changes as schools. Yeah, we're talking about starting our own schools again. We need people to do this, even starting like small one-room schoolhouses. I know some people who are doing this where families get together and they hire a teacher together, you know, to pay their salary. And it's kind of like a little house in the prairie. And they're, and it's good because kids learn well with varied ages. I've heard all kinds of stories about that, of, you know, mixing up the ages is good for all the kids. I think there's all kinds of, especially where we are here in Northern Idaho, all kinds of alternative schools that are popping up by people who are more free thinking and outside the box, who want something different for school, like different kinds of private schools that are popping up. So I think that white people are resourceful, and we're going to see some fun, new, interesting changes in the whole education sphere, because I know homeschooling can also be tough for everyone. Not everyone is built for that.
Right.
You know, and so it would be nice to have these other alternatives, and alternatives that are also affordable. I know. What do you think about the future of education? That might, I mean, college might be totally different 10, 20 years from now also.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that the models that we have right now are going to fall apart. They're not sustainable for a variety of reasons, which I don't need to go into right now. A lot of it has to do with funding. You have to have the base there that's going to fund it, whether it's a public school or it's a secondary institution of higher learning. And you know, what white people do is they do what they think is the most moral thing to do. And they've been brainwashed, indoctrinated for decades to think that putting others, other races ahead of ourselves is the most moral thing to do. That's what we've been told. That's what you're taught in school. That's what you're taught by the news, by Walter Cronkite, by the cartoons you watch, you know, your Talk Tick videos. All of this nonsense, and I say that wrong on purpose.
Yep.
I don't respect social media.
Toxic.
So when white people realize that actually taking care of themselves and taking care of their kids is the most moral thing to do, they'll start swinging into action. They'll start taking action. When white people take action, you know, the game is already over. You know, the outcome is already determined. It's just how long is it going to take and what is it going to look like?
Yeah, exactly.
So I think that there will be several models along the lines of what you're talking about. And it's you know, schooling is not super mysterious or difficult. You have to have the right material, and you have to know how to give it to kids at their mental and emotional levels as they move along. You have to know how to test them on that. And then there's going to be benchmarks at different years and upon graduation from high school that you want them to meet, and that can be done. And then they're going to be ready as anyone else who went through public schooling, except they're not going to have all of that indoctrination involved. And then the secondary schooling is going to look a lot different as well, except maybe like real degrees such as, you know, medicine, nursing, engineering,
trades.
That type of stuff. Yeah. There's going to be a lot of trades that are going to be 1 year or 2 years, which is going to be completely appropriate. And people are not going to be saddled with thousands and thousands of dollars of student debt.
Yeah.
And I think that's all great. Things are going to have to change, and they will change.
Yeah. Last question for you now, you know, as a educator. Homeschooling. I always hear from some women that they just say they feel overwhelmed. Where do I begin? People are starting. And any words of advice for people that are just kind of tackling, just starting out in homeschooling and feeling overwhelmed?
I would have them just start looking on the internet for homeschooling options. Oh, well, on my website, on the schoolofthewest.world, at the top there is a tab. You can see it right there. It's homeschooling. So if they click on that, it will at least give them some ideas, some places like where to start. There's different laws depending upon the state that you're in.
Idaho's great, by the way. No one's in your business.
Yeah, Idaho is like one of the freest. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Idaho is one of the states that I have on here right now.
Yeah.
So people who had the most questions, someone who helps with the school. They did all the investigation, and they say, here's the forms. Here's how you have to do it. On here, there's a sample curriculum where you can go to and you can look and see, like, okay, this is what you're supposed to teach, but that can be super daunting. So I also have a tab that's other resources, and it's just a place to start. It's just the beginning, because it can feel very daunting where you're thinking, like, okay, I'm supposed to school my kids right now. Where do I start? What subjects do I do? Like, how often do I give them these worksheets, or are they supposed to read, or should I put them online now, or is going online, is that bad? And like, when do I give them a test, and what are the other kids learning? Are they going to be behind or in front of the other kids in public school? So you can look on the website there just to get some ideas. If on the bottom of all the pages on the website is the email. People can email me with those questions, and I'll send them some ideas. And what's going to happen is, over time, the parent is going to become more comfortable as they find the material that they want to use. It's going to be a mix of books that they can either buy, or they might pay a small fee to different companies who are going to have complete workbooks for ELA, science, math for different grades. They can have the kids go through that material. There will be assessments for the kids as well. Plus, you're going to want to teach the kids all the things that you want them to know how to do around the house, out in the yard, skills, et cetera, going hiking, camping, learn all of these other things that our people used to know. And a parent is going to find out that, yes, I do have the time and I have the skill to homeschool my kids, or I might be able to do it, but I'm pretty busy. So what other options do I have? Are there places that can tutor my kids online, or is there a homeschooling co-op? Is there a co-op with, you know, Asatru or the local church or something like that where I can get other people involved? I can teach for a little while. Someone else can teach for a little while. Or like you said, maybe there's a teacher in a school district somewhere that people know. You could snipe that teacher. You guys could say, hey, wait a second. How much are you getting paid? You know, what are your benefits, et cetera? You know, how do you like teaching this district? How about if you teach this many kids right here, we'll set up a deal with you. There's lots of different ways that you could do this. You just got to think that it is going to get done. It's not that difficult. We've been learning as humans for a really long time.
Yeah,
this isn't brand new. And you'll find a way to make it work. So
yeah.
Just don't give up.
I think that's good advice. Now, School of the West, tell people about the website, also how they can help support you if they want to help infuse some more material, submit some material or curriculum that they've developed or worked on. Give us all that information that you want to get out there.
All right. The website is schoolofthewest.world, because it's for the whole world. And like I said, the contact number, or sorry, the contact email is at the bottom of I think every single page. And if you have a passion, if you have a certain skill that you can share with people, if you have expertise in some field that is appropriate for children, whether or not it's a traditional subject that you would find in school or something that you think is interesting and or helpful for kids, then please contact me and we can talk about how material can be put together. Normally, what we have are videos and either PDFs, which are worksheets or assessments, or sometimes it's just reading material. We have stuff from, like I said, science, engineering, programming, physics, math, ELA, and then I've got another section on there that's pretty young and I want to fill out a whole lot of information where I want to have stuff about, you know, working on cars, growing vegetables, recipes, cooking, sewing, mending. How do you do, rural agrarian things around the house, or other specialized skills. There's people who make all sorts of videos of things that they're interested in and things that are appropriate for us, especially if it has something to do with our history, with our people, with our culture, maybe from a specific region. All of that is totally appropriate for putting on the website. And if there's people out there that happen to have a lot of vision and resources, and they want to help construct a physical school or make this more robust so that it can be run full time or developed more into a school that is commensurate with what we would find in public education, where a full curriculum can be developed over time. What I mean is one in white well-being, a curriculum in white well-being that would run parallel with the normal subjects, then by all means, get in contact with me as well.
Yep, that's all where it needs to go, for sure. It needs to turn into, virtual, first we're home, but then we're going to have like our own meeting houses again, our own schools again. And we're getting there, and all of this is doing the work and paving the way. These things don't happen overnight, and it takes time, and it takes people to invest work like you're doing, It's very important. But there's so many talented people out there and so many minds, and so that's why it really does take our village, to help make these things happen. So you're listening. Get in touch with Brandt and let's get a bunch of cool stuff on that website, because I foresee one day that this is going to grow into like a real school, physical school.
Right. Yeah. I have no doubt that is the direction that's going. It just has to start virtually, and it will become something large and physical. And hopefully a lot of the material here, if it's appropriate for the future generations, it can serve as a core curriculum for our people as we move forward and we regain what used to be ours and has been taken from us.
Exactly. Well, Brandt, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Hopefully we have many teachers and future teachers listening. We need you guys and gals. Also, Northern Idaho is always hiring teachers, so get your butts up here. That's it for now. Remember to share this show. Help spread our content. We may be banned from YouTube, but we're not on the dark corners of the internet. Simply go to redice.tv, where you will find all our content. And you can help us by signing up for a membership. So go to redicemembers.com right now. And a special thanks to our executive producers. We appreciate your support. That's it for now. See you on the next one.